Let's pray before we look again at God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look again at this passage, as we think about the Lord Jesus who died for us, we would realize afresh the significance of what he did all those Good Fridays ago. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase from someone that, well, nobody's perfect. It's a true saying, isn't it? It's one of those things where you say, well, yes, of course. Everyone gets it wrong sometimes. And when we're talking about wrong, we're not saying, oops, I made a mistake. We're talking about when we do the things that are morally wrong. And when you add the things that we think that are wrong that we do, and the things that we say that are wrong, and the times we don't speak or act when we know we should, when we add all those things up, the sum total is that we all are guilty. All humanity stands before God guilty of something. And if we're really honest about ourselves, we will say actually guilty of a lot of things. Nobody's perfect. In fact, everyone is far from perfect. Everyone is guilty. So the question we should all be asking is, what can be done about this? If when we die, we stand before God and we are guilty, then he won't let us into heaven. So we need to do something. Or something has to be done about our sin and guilt. And the law's answer to this was to sacrifice. Cattle and goats would meet their end, and other animals, would meet their ends in order to purchase forgiveness. Someone has to die for sin, and it's better that it's animals rather than humans. They die, their blood is shed instead of us. And that sounds good, doesn't it? Except for one thing, and that is, well, you can see it in chapter 10. Look at verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You see, the problem with animal sacrifices were that they didn't actually work. The very fact that they had to be continually repeated year after year showed their failure to deal comprehensively with the problem of sin. Sin wasn't dealt with because you can't take away human sins with animal sacrifice. It was humans that sinned, and it required human blood to comprehensively deal with it. The sacrifices under the law were at best a band-aid solution. They were what you did while you waited for the real solution. The real surgery. Sin is too big for mere the blood of bulls and goats and other animals to deal with it. It required more radical surgery. So the sacrifices under the law didn't work, so why were they there? Why did the law require these animal sacrifices? Well, look again at verse 3, for you see there it says, those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. So one of the reasons the law required animal sacrifices for sin was to remind the people that they had sinned. To sacrifice animals for sin told them that sin was serious. And to remove it was costly. And that it had to be paid for in blood. If the wages of sin is death, and it is, then someone has to die for the sin. Either the sinner does or someone or something else does. And this was an important lesson for the people of God to remember as they awaited the permanent fix for sin. Sin is serious, and to remove it is costly. Friends, it's very easy for us to get blasé about our sin, isn't it? It's very easy to forget the horror of sin because it can seem so every day, because it is every day. And the sacrifices of the Israelites all those years ago should remind us too of our sins. But they were only a shadow of the things that were to come, and the reality was found in Jesus. Let's jump ahead to verse 9 to see how he deals with it. He said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So the Jesus fix was what was required. He fixed our problem of sin by first living a pure and blameless life so that he didn't have to die for his own sin, and then by paying the penalty of our sin on the cross. Instead of us dying for our sins, Jesus died. Though he was innocent, he died for those who were guilty. He died for us. And that is why Christians down through the years have sung about the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus and God, and that it is love unknown. It is so amazing. It's amazing that the good would so love the evil that they would, that he would suffer our death for us. And because of that death, Jesus made his people holy, we're told here. That is, no more need for band-aids. The surgery Jesus did provided a permanent cure for sin. So complete is this cure that even though his people still sin, they are seen by God as having no sin. When God looks at his people, those who have trusted in Jesus, he sees the holiness and blamelessness of Jesus. Like a pure white cloak over dirty clothes. It covers over everything, doesn't it? Like a pure white cloak over dirty clothes, sinful people are called holy if they are one of Jesus' people. It is the complete fix for sin, the Jesus fix. And the completeness of this fix is rammed home in the next few verses. Look at verse 11. "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy." We see here the great contrast between the priests of the Old Testament and Jesus, our great high priest. The priests keep offering sacrifices, but Jesus offers one sacrifice, once, for all. And that was his death on the cross on Good Friday. The priests are continually standing to offer their sacrifices, but Jesus is sitting. He's finished. The priest's sacrifices don't work, but Jesus' sacrifice makes his people perfect in God's eyes forever. And in verse 18, we're told that Jesus' sacrifice means the end of all those animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice of himself was the last sacrifice for sins. Yes, people might still make animal sacrifices, but they don't achieve anything. They're not even band-aids anymore. The cure has come in the death of Jesus all those Good Fridays ago. Jesus' death was the last sacrifice for sins. And forgiveness is now available because of that sacrifice. Friends, the death of Jesus is the only sacrifice that counts when it comes to sin. Let me say very clearly that animal sacrifices don't work. So don't do them. That's good news for a few animals. But friends, any sacrifice that we make in terms of money or time or possessions won't work either. You cannot buy a stairway to heaven. Giving material comforts up and fasting and living the ascetic life doesn't work either. No human action achieves our salvation. Nothing that we do deals with the problem of sin. Even if we were to sacrifice another human life, God forbid, be it ours or someone else's, it wouldn't work. Because the last sacrifice has happened. Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday all those years ago. Only Jesus' death on the cross is the sacrifice for sins. It is the one that works. It is the complete fix that we need. Because his blood pays the complete price for all our sins. And because it works, Jesus' death is the last sacrifice for sins. No other is needed or required, for there is no more to pay. So the question from God's word today for us is, have we let the last sacrifice pay for our sin? Or are we still trying to pay for it ourselves in some other way? Well, friends, this Easter, why not give up? Why not give up trying to make up for your own sin? And trust Jesus to save you instead. And if you don't know how to do that, then come and grab me after the service, or if you're listening online, send me a message through the Connect cards on the website. But let me encourage you to act on it so that this Good Friday, your sins are covered by the last sacrifice of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that your Son Jesus came all those Good Fridays ago and died in our place, sacrificing himself for our sin so that we might be forgiven and live with you forever in heaven. Thank you for his death on the cross. And we thank you for the salvation we have because of his great act of mercy. And we pray not only would we trust him and so have his sacrifice cover us too, but also, we ask that you would help us to live lives of thankfulness and gratitude. Relying on his grace instead of any paltry sacrifice we might bring. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.